It's a big world, and we need to look outside the West to see what is happening elsewhere. As you know, India is catching up to China as one of the world's fastest-growing economies. With little population control, it will also have more people than China by the middle of this century. One in every five people on Earth will be of East Indian descent. Now we're going to listen to one voice from this complex subcontinent. Satish Kumar, the editor of Resurgence magazine, speaks about Gandhi and environmentalism. For those who don't know, Mahatma Gandhi was the spiritual and political leader of the Indian movement, which gained independence from Britain. To reduce dependence on British industrial products, he proposed a Made in India policy and a simple lifestyle not based on consumerism. Of course, Gandhi was much more than this, too much to tell in this short time. We will hear selections from the speech, which I picked up from a radio program produced by and for kids called Radio Free School. Here is Satish Kumar speaking on Gandhi in the Age of Climate Change.
So we have built an economy of free market and globalization. Simply put, free market and globalization is the cause of global warming. If we want to reduce global warming, we want to mitigate climate change, it is not going to happen by technological fixes. It is going to happen when we are prepared to have a new world view and a new way of life, what Mahatma Gandhi advocated. The new world view has to be based in our relationship with the natural world. A relationship of respect and reverence. A reverential ecology, or a spiritual ecology, or a non-violent ecology, where nature is not there for our use. There is an intrinsic value of nature, or in nature. Trees are there, standing. They are useful to us because they give us fruit, they give us shade, they give us wood, they give us oxygen, and therefore we value them. But there's a more value to the trees and to the forest and to the lakes and to the mountains and to the animals and birds and all life than their usefulness to humans. So recognizing the intrinsic value of nature, that is the first big shift, paradigm shift we have to make. This idea of human superiority and all the rest of the species and nature for the benefit and use of humans, that has to change. We have to have an equity with nature, an understanding, a relationship with nature, where trees have as much right. Your lake here, the wonderful Ontario Lake, has as much right to remain clean, unpolluted water as your home. You have right to have your home unpolluted. You would not like me to come and throw my rubbish bin into the courtyard or living room of your house. If I do not have right to put my rubbish in your living room, what right I or you have to put our rubbish into the living room of the lake or living room of the forest? So throwing waste in nature and using nature for our benefit, that fundamental attitude change, a paradigm shift has to be there if we really wish to mitigate the effects of climate change. And the second, we have to develop a positive view of living in harmony with the natural world. Living in harmony in such a way that we live happily, but not wastefully. We live elegantly and simply, but not extravagantly. This extravagant, wasteful lifestyle which we have built, as if there is no tomorrow. Gandhi came to believe that a simple life is a freer life. When we have this kind of materialistic society and materialistic culture, this creates more bondage and less freedom. We think that we are a free society just because we can write an article in New York Times or your Globe and Mail, or just because you can publish some books, you are free. Freedom is much more than just saying something. And therefore, if you truly want to be free, then you have to be simple. It's blessed to be free, and it's a blessing to be simple, and it's a blessing to be free. That is a Gandhian idea. So living a simple, elegant lifestyle, less and local. That was Gandhi's idea of Swadeshi. Gandhi coined some three beautiful ideas. The first was Sarvodaya. Sarvodaya is different from socialism and capitalism, the two dominant philosophies in our political system and the political thinking is socialism and capitalism. Socialism is concerned with the benefit of society, human society, purely anthropocentric political philosophy. And capitalism, even less. It's not even concerned about society, it's concerned about the capital. As long as your capital is safe, you are happy. So capitalism and socialism both do not take nature into account. So Mahatma Gandhi coined a new word, and that word was Sarvodaya, well-being of all. All, literally all. Even in socialism, you do not have the idea of all human beings. The socialist idea is greatest good of the greatest number. Whereas Sarvodaya says, not greatest good of the greatest number, but greatest good of all numbers. And that greatest good should begin with the weakest of the weak, poorest of the poor. When you start to bring development, economic development, where do you start? You start with the poorest of the poor and the weakest of the weak. So Gandhi started to work with the untouchables. And how do you start to work with the untouchables? Not just by preaching at them and telling them what to do and how to live, but identifying with them. Gandhi said, how it is that I go to toilet and then somebody else, an untouchable, comes and cleans it. So Gandhi started to clean the toilets. Gandhi took a broom in his hand and went out from his ashram and cleaned the streets. That way he incorporated the principle of Sarvodaya, the well-being and upliftment of all. And that included not only humans, but other than human species. If there is no well-being of the animals, the way our farming works, the factory farming, that is not non-violent. And you cannot have Sarvodaya if the animals are treated with cruelty. And so well-being of all includes the welfare of animals and forests. If you go and clear cut rainforest in Amazon to grow more corn or soya so that you can make biofuels, or you can have hamburgers or something mass produced, that is violence to the forest. Forests have rights, as I said before. We have human rights. Gandhian thinking will lead you to understand rights of nature. And so Sarvodaya brings that holistic philosophy into our politics and sociology so that we give right to all living beings and well-being of all living beings, humans and other than humans. The second principle Mahatma Gandhi pronounced and propagated was Swaraj. Hindi word Swaraj. Swaraj means self-organized governance. Governance not coming from top to bottom, someone telling you how you live, but Swaraj where communities, villages, towns, neighborhoods, and individuals and families, they bring governance which is self-organized. This is how nature works. This is where we need to learn from nature, the wisdom of nature. How the forests are organizing? Is there any military force there? Do they have any courts? How lions and tigers and snakes and eagles and birds, how they organize their governance? Do they have any president or prime minister or parliament? When 300 million species on the earth can run their lives beautifully, and there is no hunger in nature. No species are starving, going to bed without food. Only human species have systems of government in which millions of people are forced to go to bed without food. How it is that we consider ourselves superior species? The tigers, the deer, the snakes, the birds, the eagle, they are all fed and watered and sheltered without any help of supermarkets or Monsanto or Cargill or genetic engineering of seeds. And we humans cannot organize ourselves in such a way that every human being has access to food and water and shelter. And the third idea of Gandhi, Sarvodaya and Swaraj, and the third is Swadeshi, the local home economy, as Gary mentioned in his introduction. Home economy, where your economics, maximum economics, is local. No transportation, as I said before. Local. If there is a trait, Gandhi was not an extremist. In no way he was extremist. He would say, if you want to do some trade, it should be in goods which are not available locally. And that should be icing on the cake. Small amount. So not too much transportation required. So maximum economic activity is at the local grassroots level. In your villages, in your towns, in your neighborhoods, in your within 50 miles, 100 miles, when you can travel, walk, go on horses, or have a small public transportation, or bus, or train, or something. But this huge, big lorries traveling from north, south, to south, east, to west, from California to east of the eastern part of America, or Vancouver to Ottawa, or somewhere, long distance is traveling of goods, Gandhi said, that's not Swadeshi. That's not a proper, sustainable, durable economy. Durable economy is one which is always renewable and local and available, and you have control over it. So that is the third idea of Gandhi, which I think these three ideas of Sarvodaya, Swaraj, and Swadeshi, the upliftment and well-being of all, without any exception, no one is left out, completely inclusive development, is Sarvodaya. And Swaraj is self-organizing from inside out, from self-managed system. You learn from nature and develop your governance on the principles of Swaraj. And Swadeshi, your economy. So you can see, on a philosophical level, political level, and economic level, he has a whole new vision, a whole new paradigm in which sustainability is inbuilt. And Gandhi was talking at the time when nobody was talking about environment, and nobody was worried about global warming. But now we can see the relevance of Gandhian way of thinking in our age of global warming. We are industrial system, so busy that the industrial system, violent system, has taken out the beauty and joy from our lives. That is the reason, global warming or no global warming, climate change or no climate change, resources depletion or no resources depletion, this kind of industrial way of life is not, from Gandhian perspective, which he spoke nearly 80 years ago, or nearly 100 years ago. His first book, Hind Swaraj, came out in 1909. So nearly we are reaching 100 years ago, when he talked about what is a satisfactory, good way of living. So Gandhian idea is not driven from fear. The modern environmentalism is very much driven by fear. Fear of doom and gloom and disaster. Global warming will bring an end to the civilization, therefore we have to do something. If you act out of fear, your action will be panic driven, and then you will very easily fall from frying pan to fire. You will go from fossil fuel to nuclear fuel. You will go from fossil fuel to biofuel. And biofuel, when people are starving, we want to make fuel from corn and soya to feed our cars. That's it. Unjust social order we will create. So panic-driven solutions will be there if we are driven by fear. So Gandhian nonviolence talks about action, environmentalism, economy, our way of life, not driven from fear, but from love of nature, love of life, love of the earth, love of people. If you have love in your heart for trees and animals and birds and lakes and rivers and people and communities and children, then your action will be right action. And so I would say, friends, that in this age of climate change and global warming, love-driven action is essential. Without that, we will come into a sorry state.
Those were selections from a speech given by Satish Kumar, editor of Resurgence magazine, speaking on Gandhi in the age of climate change.